welcome to the Grow Your English podcast with English Language Tree. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Grow Your English podcast. My name is Tree, and you are very welcome from wherever you are listening in the world today. It's nice to have you here. The last time I made an episode, I was talking about the English Language Summit for Advanced Learners. That happened in April, and it was absolutely fantastic. I really enjoyed it. If you're interested in getting my top tips from my talk, all about listening, then you can go to my Instagram and access that from the Linktree bio. And I'm going to talk today about creative ways to practice your English. There was so much creativity at this event. So if you are a new podcast listener and you've joined me since the English Language Summit, welcome. Welcome to everybody. And yeah, here are my two ways for you to practice English, or any language actually, more creatively. So I'm living in a Welsh-speaking area of Wales, and I have started exploring my language learning through music. So I've started going to a Welsh choir for all levels of learner. I'm a beginner in Welsh, and I was a little bit apprehensive when I started to sing in Welsh, to sing in a language that I don't know very well. But it's been brilliant. It's really good for noticing not only the sounds of the language. Welsh is quite a regular language in terms of pronunciation, but it's also made me very aware of the tempo, the timing of the language, how the syllables in the words fit the rhyme of the song. It's helped me with my scanning of the words on the big piece of paper, but then also as I'm listening to the other singers, understanding how those words fit together. We sing quite simple songs, we sing with nice harmonies, and I'm really bad at remembering words in English anyway. So what's good for me is kind of making the connections between the sounds and what I see in front of me. And it's super enjoyable, and everybody's really friendly. So if you have the opportunity to join any kind of English choir or singing group, I would recommend that you give it a go. If you haven't got any singing groups or English language choirs in your area, maybe look a little further afield, a little further away. You might find some one-to-one singing opportunities online. But you can also be your own song teacher. So take a song that you really like, get the lyrics, but before you even start singing along, maybe take a verse or a chorus, a short section, and think about what those words in that section mean. Say it. There's my dog singing in the background. Sorry about that. Say the words first, before you try and sing along. I always find that I pick up tunes and harmonies quite quickly, but then the words aren't actually the ones they're supposed to be. I'm just going to pause because my dog has decided to do some crazy singing at this moment. So the next thing you can do is say the words with the correct rhythm, the correct timing, before you start making the notes, the musical sounds. Get the feeling for how they fit together, and then try singing along. If that's too much of a step, try humming. That kind of sound. Try humming before you start singing. And have fun with it. So don't worry about what you sound like at all. This is for you. This is just some English language practice, some fun. Have a go. You don't need to share the results with me, but I'd love to hear if you do try some English language singing. Something that was really good for me this weekend about not worrying about how I sound and letting go, I tried a voice yoga workshop at a music festival that I went to. And voice yoga is to do with kind of letting your voice explore, letting the sounds come out as they do, not worrying about being perfect. We learned some kind of some raga, some meditative singing from the Indian tradition, but we weren't expected to copy this. We were playing with the sound, trying to get some of the notes, moving between different notes, improvising, and sitting in a big circle with other people. It was a little bit intimidating, but I was there to explore my voice, and that's what I did. I couldn't remember all of the phrases that we were aiming to sing back in some way, so I made it up. I played with the sounds. And then as people got more comfortable with the tone of their voice, how high or low they were singing, how loudly or how softly, then the group sound really began to build. And it was really incredibly beautiful. And this was totally different to anything I'd done before. And although I was out of my comfort zone, it was utterly amazing, really beautiful experience. So copying sounds, trying out rhythms, trying out words, hearing your voice, hearing your English voice, probably different to your first, second language voice. So there's a lot of freedom there. And I do think that you could have a lot of fun if you perhaps try a couple of those things. So that was a little clip of one of the many folk bands that I heard wandering around the festival site on Sunday. And it's got me thinking again about soundscapes. And this is my second creative way for you to practice using your English. So a soundscape is a combination of sounds that you hear in a given place at a given time. I had a wonderful soundscape, not only music, but different groups of people, dogs barking, running water, drums, happy voices. So that's a kind of a festival soundscape. I've got a clip that I recorded down near the river, near my house, a couple of weeks ago. And in there, I'm asking you to think about what your own soundscape might be. What sounds do you hear? Whether they are natural, whether they are human-made, or whether it's that kind of combination of human and nature sounds. And this was off the back of a trip to London, which used to be my soundscape. So you don't have to be surrounded by relaxing sounds by any means. Soundscapes can be made up of many, many different aspects of your aural atmosphere. So here I am in the woods near my house. You can hear the water in the background. You can hear the dry oak leaves under my feet. Feels like summer might be on the way. It's a lovely, warm spring day, no rain. And it's got me thinking about soundscapes. I was in London the other weekend. And it was a cacophony of sound, constant sound, traffic, people, music, sirens. You can imagine, if you live in a city, you know what I'm talking about. I used to live in London, and outside my bedroom window was a pedestrian crossing which used to beep with regularity right outside where I was sleeping, and it didn't bother me. Right now, I couldn't imagine anything worse. So I'm talking to you about this because I'd love to know what makes your soundscape. Do you live in the countryside? Do you live in a big town, small town, quiet street, noisy apartment building? Where do you go on a daily basis? What do you hear? What sounds surround you? If you were to start recording, what would you record? What would come up in the audio? So yeah, take your phone, get recording. You don't need anything fancy. Think about your personal soundscape. What are the sounds that make it special to this particular place at this particular time? Is there a particular clock that you can hear that chimes on a regular basis? Is there a particular type of vehicle, language, person, animal, bird? What's under your feet? What's around you? What makes your soundscape personal to you and your location? I would love to know. Food for thought. Oop, I nearly fell over. Food for thought. Okay.
One of the tips that I gave in my listening talk at the summit in April was to listen responsively, to respond to what you hear. So a good responsive task, a nice way of responding to your soundscape recording, if you do one, is to try and write down what you hear in your recording in English. Write down the nouns, the names of things. Maybe add verbs, maybe add adjectives to bring some description into your soundscape. If that's too much, you could draw a picture, try and recall what you saw as you were recording the sounds. Something to add another layer of appreciation and understanding to the listening work that you're doing. So if you have some time to add some notes, some words, some writing, some drawing to accompany your soundscape, that's fantastic. Looking ahead to next month, gosh, it's next month already, in July, we are going to be running the Relax Into Your English Digital Retreat, a free 2-day online event. We did it last year with Sarah from Meaningful English and Lisa from Your English Self, two brilliant women in the world of English language. We are running a digital retreat where you can relax using the English that you have, thinking in new ways, getting some fresh ideas. At last year's retreat, I did the Sounds of Nature, a listening-related relaxing session. I'm going to do something similar this year, and soundscapes is all part of that. So if you're interested, keep an eye out on social media. We will be running the Relax Into Your English retreat on the 19th and 20th of July. In the meantime, go and do some singing, go and do some recording, go and relax, have fun using your English creatively. But for now, thank you so much for listening, and goodbye. If you enjoyed the Grow Your English podcast, come and find me on Instagram @eltreeonline.